Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you today. So I think that one of the most empowering jobs in the world that we have is to be a mother. I think that's one of the most honoring job. It's the hardest job. It's the most amazing job is to be a mother. So my guest, my first guest today, she is the mother of twins. They're 3 years old and they're napping right now. So this is the perfect time to have her on the show. Ellen Elizabeth is an infertility warrior and recovery advocate who uses her skills as an author and sober mother of twins to represent women struggling with feelings of shame and inadequacy. These mothers feel powerless to quit drinking or unable to bring a child into the world. Through radical honesty and recovery principles, Ellen inspires moms to define who they want to be and transform their demons into dreams. Welcome to the show today, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Yeah. It's so good to be here. Thank you.
So is it Ellen Elizabeth?
Yes. First and middle name.
That's me.
Really?
Yes.
How cool. So
how did you come to that?
So my last name is hard to spell and hard to say if you don't know how to say it. And I just thought Ellen Elizabeth had a little bit of anonymity so that when I do talk about some of my struggles, people may not know that it's really me.
Gotcha. So yeah. How long have you been going by Ellen Elizabeth?
Since 2020.
Since 2020. Uh-huh. So quite the story. So here you are, an infertility warrior helping women get pregnant, helping women leave behind the toxicity of addiction.
Yes.
Alcohol or, you know, right?
Yes, exactly.
So in the break, I was asking you, what happened to you that you were trying to get pregnant and you also had an addiction that you were dealing with at the time? Is that right?
Yes. Absolutely. So I've struggled with addiction since I was 18 years old, and it escalated through the 12 or 15 years until I was trying to get pregnant. And the stress of all of the fertility issues we were dealing with really made it a lot higher than normal. So I was drinking a full bottle of vodka by myself in a closet every day, and then the alcohol that people would actually see me drink. So I was hiding alcohol. I was desperate to quit because I knew we were trying to get pregnant, but I was also absolutely terrified that I would get pregnant because then I would have to stop drinking. And at that time, in my heart, I didn't think I'd be able to. And so that really scared me to be pregnant and to, if I would continue drinking, it would be really bad. So months and months of that shame and guilt were going on, and it was the shame and guilt that I could not stop drinking, but also I was blaming myself for the infertility. So that just caused me to drink more because I just didn't want to feel any of those things. And it took several months. I was still doing the infertility treatments when I did finally decide to get sober. So I knew that I would have to essentially be sober in order to get pregnant. And so I took a little break from trying to have kids and I went to rehab, and that's what started my recovery journey.
So, wow, what a story. So did you have a wake up call?
I had several. I don't think I had one rock bottom. I think I had plenty. but none of them were the wake-up call that I needed. It's in addiction, it's really not until you yourself are ready to stop that it works. If you try to stop for other people, it usually isn't going to work. So you have to be doing it for yourself. And so I'd been told by other people for years that I had an issue, that I needed to quit, and that never stopped me. And the last day I drank was a wake-up call for me because I'd never drank at work before. And it was the first day that I actually brought vodka into the office, and I was wasted by lunchtime and knew that I'd be fired if I didn't get out of the building. I knew that people would be able to notice. So I did call my husband, and he was gracious enough to pick me up. And when I came to, because I of course passed out in the car, when I came to, my whole family was in the house and said they found me a rehab facility place that I could go to. So at that point, I just knew I needed to go and knew that this all needed to stop.
Wow, that's really huge. So that was really, you created that situation for yourself, really, like this, you created your own wake-up call, like bringing the alcohol to work. And that is when that happened, and then the family came in. Sounds like you had a good support system around you. You know, can you imagine? There's so many people that don't have that.
Exactly.
Right. And you did, you already had that. You already had that, the people that were there that had the rehab for you. You could have fought it, but you knew already that you were ready to embrace this next challenge of yes, getting clean and sober. So how was it in the rehab? I'm just curious, you know, because I mean, you go in the detox and then the shadow.
Yep, and then you're there. So it was scary. I didn't know what it would be like. I didn't know who would be in there. And I had my family with me. I couldn't get in right away, so I had to wait 4 days until I could get in. So my family pretty much huddled around me those 4 days to make sure I didn't leave the house. They took my car and keys away because they knew I'd try to sneak out and get something. So they helped me kind of detox on my own without really knowing it. So by the time I got in, I was pretty over all the withdrawals and detoxification that needed to happen. But it was really eye-opening. I learned a ton because you do so many classes and you really do a deeper dive into yourself. Because as addicts, we never want to look at ourselves, and that's why we try to numb everything out. And I realized that no matter where the other people came from, no matter what they looked like, we're all the same. You know, we have the same problems. And we all just got along like we'd been best friends for years. And it is sad. Most of them I don't talk to anymore because they didn't make it through their recovery. But I do have a couple really close friends that have stayed in touch with me for the last 5 years. And I find that just really powerful that you're only with these people for a few short weeks, and then I haven't seen them in 5 years, but we still talk all the time. So you meet really good people in the recovery community.
Yeah. So it's been 5 years since you've been clean and sober?
Correct. From alcohol. Yes.
And have you had any alcohol since? Do you drink socially?
Not at all. I'm not completely at all. Abstinent from alcohol. I did have a little slip over the summer. And I did try to take cough medicine, which is really embarrassing to talk about because it's like, why would I even try to do that? But it was just straight back into those feelings of inadequacy and wanting to numb some feelings. And in my brain, I convinced myself that it wasn't a real drug and it wasn't alcohol, so I may as well try it. So I was just straight back into my addictive behavior and took a few too many and realized it was a bad situation.
Wow. Well, congratulations to you for being able to recognize and see the patterns right away and really pull yourself out. I know what addiction is like because I too had suffered from lots of different addictions that I had to conquer. And I found at the root core of all of it was self-hate. And yes, to take that self-hate and then bring that self-love in there instead that was quite the process. And the whole piece about the numbing and the feelings, you know, we have a lot to feel in our humanity. And there was a lot of things that to feel, to heal, and, you know, come into acceptance about, which is really hard. So that's why I, you know, commend you a lot of courage for coming on today to talk about your story this way, and also really honor you for helping people now the way that you do. So you've got twins now, you got pregnant, you had twins, and that must have been the happiest day of your life.
Yes, it was so exciting. It was actually very conflicting because we were told we were pregnant and that it was twins, but then we were told that one twin wasn't going to make it. So it was like immediate happiness, but also confusion and sadness at the same time. So it was a very emotional day, but the day we found out we were pregnant before we knew it was twins was the happiest day. We were both crying in the bathroom, so excited.
And are the kids fine today? Both of them?
Yes.
Happy.
Both of them are healthy. We had several issues with my son the first year, but he's doing great now. So they're just running around, going different directions every time they're outside and keeping me busy.
That's awesome. So it sounds like boy and a girl?
Yes, one boy, one girl.
Awesome. Awesome. So now you're helping women. You're helping women get pregnant.
Yes.
You're helping women with fertility. So let's tell the audience how they can look you up on social media and where they can find you. And if you're some people are listening to the show, so make sure that you tell us correctly your social media handles.
Absolutely. So Instagram and Facebook, you can find me at It's Ellen Elizabeth. And I have a website, which is www.itsellenelizabeth.com. So you can find all about me on the website, and I also post inspirational things all the time on my social media.
So what do you do as far as working with women individually? Like, what do you do? They can have a discovery call with you. How does it work?
Yeah, so they can contact me however is easiest for them, and then we can just chat about what they're going through. It could be struggling with addiction. It could be some infertility issues, and then I just kind of go from there, see what they need and how I can help them.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I mean, you definitely have a speaking career because you're a wonderful storyteller.
You're
a wonderful speaker, so I know that you have a full speaking career ahead of you, book writing, who knows which direction you're going to go. I'm sure that right now you're keeping busy with your twins, and how awesome. So all those women that are looking for someone to talk to, Ellen Elizabeth, the perfect person to give a call to. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and for sharing your story with us.
Thank you. We're
going to take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back. Everyone, come check out this new app I'm featured in. You're going to look for KS Media Group app in the App Store. Download it, launch and create your free account. Get the free ebook. You're going to find me under directories. Click on resources of the world's best influencers. Find me at the top of the list and take advantage of evolving your daily practice, cultivating deep inner peace, growing in love with my YouTube channel, and all the ways that you can connect with me now on social media and other ways as well. There's also a long list of live podcasts there that are listed under the directories to help you to live your best life now. Go and hurry, get the KS Media app, go to the App Store and download it now.
Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul, with Julie O and JoJo Rose, every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let your heart beat in the rhythm of your soul and guide you to new horizons and unlimited infinite love.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. My next guest is Chelsea Ward. She's been a student of the human mind and body for over 20 years. She has a background in applied behavior analysis, is a registered nurse practitioner, and a spiritual healer. Chelsea's Go With Your Gut method was created for independent, driven women who are tired of hiding from life, trying to figure out digestive and hormone imbalances on their own. She supports them with a personalized plan so they can love themselves and feel good in their own skin. Chelsea is the author of Healed His Way, where she shares natural healing techniques that have been used by many others so they can experience health the way that it was intended. Welcome to the show today, Chelsea.
Thank you, Cornelia. It's so good to be with you today.
Yes, wonderful. So what got you started on this incredible path?
So I like to say my story is one of pain to passion, and it was driven by my own health issues. I was born with colic, and from that day forward, I had digestive issues and never knew it at the time, but digestive issues led to hormone imbalances. And I was in that continuous cycle for about 30 years, trying to figure out my health. My dad was always throwing the next diet book at me. I was taking more medications, ended up with ADD, depression, anxiety. And things just continued to get worse as I got older. By the age 27, I was actually in perimenopause. Hormone imbalances had driven me there. Hot flashes, mood swings, the whole nine, had stopped my cycles. And I was a nurse at the time and I was practicing, but I was noticing that I was just like my patients, right? I was taking the medications. I was doing everything the doctor said. I believed in it. I studied it. I knew it. And I was living it every single day, but I wasn't getting well. And I noticed, you know, they were in the same boat. So I started studying outside of that, how food is medicine. Our bodies are actually created to heal themselves. And I went on a mission to heal my own body, which took me many years, right? Because I didn't know that side of the world. I never knew what natural healing was all about. So I spent years studying and realized that it could be done and saw thousands of other people doing the same. And I thought, I cannot keep this information to myself. So that's what led to me publishing the book, Healed His Way. I thought, I'll do that. I'll continue the rest of my career as a hospital consultant. I got off the floor as a nurse and just went into hospital consulting to just draw back from, you know, typical everyday patient care. And I just didn't feel the connection with that anymore. But I realized that I had something to offer people because I was someone who knew exactly what they were going through, who had experienced the same pain. I started having people reach out to me saying, where do I turn now that I've read your book? Like, how do I do this? So my business organically started from there. And as people needed more knowledge, I went out and gained additional certificates and gained more knowledge to be able to help more complex cases. And I work with women now, women and men, but mostly women who are experiencing some sort of transition. Maybe they're going into menopause. Maybe they've been dealing with a hormone imbalance their entire life, endometriosis or PCOS. Maybe they're having digestive issues and they really want alternatives because their doctors are telling them there's no other way out. So these are the women I work with and I help build them a foundation and help them get back to feeling like their best self again.
That's an incredible story. Really incredible story. I love how organically it just all unfolded and got you to go deeper inside in discovering, you know, what's true for you and how you can heal yourself. Because I'm so much in alignment with what you're talking about with the body being able to heal itself, that we can do it as long as we create the right environment for our body. But I didn't know that endometriosis and PCOS. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. What is it?
Polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that that was a hormone imbalance.
So it's typically driven by estrogen dominance, and a lot of times it's also driven by blood sugar imbalance. So those are the two main factors that go into it. So when we can bring that blood sugar back into balance and work with those with the estrogen pathways to kind of help push those in the right direction, in a more healthy direction, then the cycles will naturally begin to balance the clients. They end up losing weight and they're not cycling like continuously like someone with PCOS would. A lot of times that disorder comes with cysts on their ovaries and a lot of those things as well. And some of those things can be transformed by just taking care of mineral imbalances in the body. So when we have symptoms like that, a lot of times they can be genetic, but they're also little screams from the body saying, hey, something's off here. And if we work to understand what is causing it, then maybe someone doesn't come off medications completely, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that anything's wrong, but we can push the body in a healthier direction, and there's always room for improvement.
So interesting, because I was definitely a candidate for the, I had the cysts on my ovaries. And that was back in 2011, and that is when I changed my diet and really looked at bringing less carbohydrate diet. And that really helped a lot. And then also started really going deep into what is the emotional suppression, and then looking at what the limiting beliefs were in my diet and this and that. And that's how I ended up healing, you know, from those cysts, and really looking at the anger that was being stored in the cysts. So I've just never heard of it spoken this way before. So it's like, yeah, that's exactly what happened to me with my, hormonal, I guess you call it a hormonal imbalance. Is that right?
Yeah. And I love how you mentioned the spiritual and the emotional aspect of it, because I think that's where we mess up so many times, is we focus on the physical, and that's where we miss it. Because the body is, we're whole beings and we're emotional beings. We're storing a lot of these emotions that are driving diseases. And I was just sharing with my group today, you know, how the body wants to create homeostasis. But if we have this low energy emotion just dragging us down, then the body's attempting to come into balance when we're doing the physical work. But if we're not doing emotional work on top of that, or simultaneously, or at least kind of tuning into that when the body's telling us, hey, you know, I'm pulling you this way and you're pulling me this way. Like, we got to find some balance here. If we're not working on both, then I think that's sometimes where we can feel stuck. We get in that cycle and we're on that hamster wheel. And the emotional piece, tying that in together, is a huge piece of the work that I do for that very reason, because I know that's part of my story and a lot of where I was missing it too.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole piece about the estrogen dominance. So I went into menopause now a couple years ago, and definitely I never really, you know, because I'm also a spiritual healer and practitioner and emotional processing, you know, knowing how to process my emotions. So I never really took on the label of menopause. I didn't want to subscribe to it. I'm doing this, alerting my body that now we're going to act like this. So I didn't take that on, but I did experience the hormonal imbalance with weight gain. And also, you know, we were going through COVID at the same time. So it was COVID, it was the whole lockdown, it was all of that, and the non-movement. So there was definitely some stress going on inside of my body during that time. And I'm just coming out of it.
Yeah. So glad you are. You know, when you're going through that menopausal shift, you're actually going from ovarian hormone production to adrenal hormone production. So, and if you're going through a time of stress, you're just compounding the body even more. And of course, we know the stress that COVID brought. So that explains a lot where you're kind of more tired. You don't really feel like working out. You're in this place where you're in this lockdown in your home and you don't want to move as much. But then it's also an emotionally stressful period as well. So a lot of that probably played a role into that transition for you. But I'm so glad to see you're on the other end of it and you saw the connection and could shift out of that.
Yeah, definitely on the other end of it and really feeling good about it now and realizing too, you know, through that experience, it brought me into a softer, sweeter relationship with my body and not be so judgmental about where I am or like even the weight that, you know, I put on around my belly or whatever, and just started accepting my body's change and that, you know, not to put so much judgment on it. And that is really where I feel what that was all about for me is to transcend that, right?
Oh, this is so good. Can you just like yell this out to the entire world? I wish that we could move into this because we're so driven by this perfect picture. And I'm recently talking with someone and I'm like, I'm 40. And I'm like, I'm so afraid of my lines and my wrinkles and my this and my that. And we're driven to perfection by social media or, you know, all the skincare routines or, you know, just the people next to us that we compare ourselves to, the models on the magazine. And we feel like we have to live this perfect, beautiful life. So we get attached to the scale. We're working out for hours every day. We're trying to like minimize the amount of food that comes in. And truly our body is as good as we treat it. So if we treat our body with respect and we love our body, then it is going to love us back. And if we learn to appreciate it and just be grateful for what it is giving us and have that loving relationship with it, then it's going to give us what we want in return.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I wanted to really, you know, do through that process is because I knew I had high cortisol. I know I was in stress. And what are you going to do? Lose the weight? You know, that yeah. whole thing's like, no, I mean, be, you know, the same self-love practice that we, you know, when we were practicing, that was the practice now that I needed to allow my body to go through this change. And that's what I went through. And I'm feeling like now things are getting better. But I sure would love to talk to you again and have you and talk about on a longer podcast. So what I'll do is I'll have Ashley reach out to you where we can just go in and talk a little bit more about this hormonal thing, like you said, scream it out to the world. I think women need to hear this. So let's tell the audience where they can find you, where they can start looking at your Facebook and also your social media handles right now.
Thank you so much, Cornelia. I'm Chelsea Ward Wellness all over the internet. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on TikTok. Oh goodness, that's a new one, right? I'm on YouTube and I do, you know, the longer videos there. And I have a book called Healed His Way. You can grab that off Amazon. And my website is chelseaward.com. I do keep a blog there and a newsletter. So any materials that you want to access there and just kind of tune in deeper, you are more than welcome.
Awesome, Chelsea. Thank you so much for coming on. I so enjoyed this conversation. We're going to have you on for another podcast. We're going to take a break at the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much.
Everyone, come check out this new app I'm featured in. You're going to look for KS Media Group app in the App Store, download it, launch and create your free account, get the free ebook. You're going to find me under directories, click on resources of the world's best influencers, find me at the top of the list and take advantage of evolving your daily practice, cultivating deep inner peace, growing in love with my YouTube channel, and all the ways that you can connect with me now on social media and other ways as well. There's also a long list of live podcasts there that are listed under the directories to help you to live your best life now. Go and hurry, get the KS Media app, go to the App Store and download it now.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to Be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to Be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, couragetobeseen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Are you ready to branch out, to take a leap of faith, to love yourself and others fully? Join Erica Gifford Mills in her signature series, The Rooted Life. This virtual 12-week series will equip, empower, and enlighten you. This is a coaching series that allows both group and individual work. 12 weekly, one-hour sessions in the comfort of your own home. Schedule your free Empower Hour now at GetRootedRadio.com. That is GetRootedRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm super excited to introduce you to our next guest. Dr. Paul Artel is a motivational speaker and work-life balance researcher who helps people and organizations break through their challenges to achieve peak performance. Born with what some would call a physical disability, Paul's signature keynote hit hard. Three must-have mindsets to break through challenges tells the story of how Paul overcame physical adversity to achieve his dream of playing college football. He's also the author of The Two-Year-Old's Guide to Work-Life Balance. Welcome to the show today, Dr. Paul.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So, okay, take us into the challenge of when you had a disability and how what it was and how you overcame it.
Sure. Well, the disability was, and I'll reveal myself on screen for those that are watching, I was born missing fingers and with shortened forearms, right? So like, this is my Ninja Turtle hand, and this is my Lego Man hand, as my son would say. So that's the quote unquote disability. It's like a lot of kids. I wanted to play sports, and I wanted a career in professional wrestling. And when that didn't seem like a thing I really wanted to play football. And I was cut by my high school team. And 6 years later, I walked on and eventually played defensive end at the University of Toronto. So in a nutshell, that's the story. it's interesting because I use the term disability to sort of describe something that most people can understand. But I kind of don't really see myself as having one. I recognize that I have a difference. And I recognize that sometimes that difference might allow me to do things differently than what others would see as the traditional way of doing it. But I think for me, that was a mindset shift early on. It's not about disability. It's about pushing through your own personal best and sort of pushing your limits and not letting what other people tell you or what they think is normal really get in the way of doing what you want.
Yeah, I think that's a really big, important piece, especially for our society today, the way that it all is, with the way that we should look and should be according to our conditioning of the past, because really it has been conditioning. It was set up that way, that we should look this way, it should be like this. But what if we were all born with mm-hmm. hands like yours, mm-hmm. right? I mean, mm-hmm. really, it's mm-hmm. like, we were born with 10 fingers, right? But what if we were all? So it's, this is a really good, I can see how, you helping people now move through whatever their limitations are or whatever their judgments are with how they're, facing their life's challenges and how important that is to shift their mindset, because you can very easily go down a woe is me, you know, and hold yourself back from living your full life's potential, right?
Yeah, and I think mindset's the key word there. I mean, some people have the woe is me, but I think really it's just about, depending what your circumstances, how you've been brought up, you're brought up in a society or in a culture that says, this is the way you should act, this is the way you should behave, these are the attributes that you should be happy with or that you have inherited. And so when I'm working with clients, when I'm coaching them, most of what I do is mindset work, right? It's deconstructing that. It's deconstructing concepts of like what is normal, you know, what is good, what is successful, right? And this doesn't have to do with just folks with disabilities. This has to do with just about, you know, people trying to achieve any goal in their lives, or even companies trying to reformat their company culture, right? And getting away from some sort of Hollywood notion of it and going really deep into like, who is you? And again, what is it you need to do? What is it you want? What are the roadblocks and what are the attitudes and or people that you just need to like put out of mind and not really associate with to get you to the next level? Because if you study successful people, doesn't matter how you define success, by the way, if you study successful people, there's a common thread that they associate and they seek knowledge from people that are trying to achieve the same thing, right? They're doing a lot of that. So it's not logical to think that, you know, folks that tell you can't do something, this is out of your wheelhouse, those aren't the folks you need to bring into your advisory board, your success team. It's really about finding the folks that can help guide you and push you and look at things from a different perspective, rather than really just kind of putting a limitation on it.
So when you say that you're working with companies, you know, peak performance, is it that that you're an individual contractor and you come in and they hire you that way, or how does that work?
Yep, I can do consulting for really employee engagement culture or evaluate employee culture and engagement, and that's really what it starts. It's really helping companies get the honest data, and sometimes having the difficult conversations that will lead to better retention and will lead to better production engagement, all those metrics that, you know, we all say we care about. And so in a really basic non-academic way, it's, you know, if a company's having a culture problem or they're just losing a lot of employees, it's really helping them have that. You know, a lot of companies will send out the survey saying, how do you feel things are going? And they will get the data and they will do nothing with it. And so my job is to help keep companies accountable to getting the data. Or because if you're not going to do anything with the responses you get from your employees, then you've pretty much wasted everybody's time and actually made things worse. I would almost argue that it's better just to not ask the question, even in a crappy work environment, because the minute you ask questions, you're almost giving people a false sense of hope if you don't intend on doing anything serious with that. So that's really the first step in what I do with companies. And I'm taking that data and just helping. A lot of it comes down to having open conversations and, again, pushing boundaries. Like, think about before the pandemic, try to get CEOs, trying to get companies to think that telework was a viable way of doing work was such an uphill battle. And now it's the opposite, right? Now everybody wants to keep it because we've seen through the pandemic in a lot of workplaces how, at least on a part-time basis, it's a really good thing for people's well-being and their production and everything else. And so these are the kind of pieces that we have to like get companies to see. And again, it comes down to difference, right? What is the objective you want to achieve? Great. Is there only one way to get that objective? In almost every case, the answer is no. There's multiple ways to get to that objective. So it's about helping companies explore some of these alternatives that will work best for them and still meet their employee needs.
Yeah. So basically, you're dealing with, you know, the CEOs of companies. You're dealing with them and bringing your perception and how they can help their employees become happier, essentially, in the workplace, especially now, because you mentioned the pandemic. I mean, the whole toxic workplace that has been out there, you know, people working for jobs they hate, driving and commuting to jobs, not being appreciated at work. There's so many things, you know, resentful employees and, you know, there's just so many things. And nowadays people want to be appreciated. They want to be valued. They want a better quality. I saw in your bio, you talk a lot about work-life balance. People want want that, you know? And I, this is where we're moving to in our future evolution on this planet. So having a work-life balance, being, having, you know, better work environments, and, you know, it's all changing. And so what do you say about all that?
It's, you're right on. It was always changing, by the way. The pandemic just put it on steroids, right? Like, you know, you talk about, if you look at stuff 2019, I guess early 2020, 2019, really, though, there's articles on millennials and Gen Z wanting more work from home, more flexibility. I can remember probably 2017-ish, there was articles on how, you know, millennials are willing to take an unpaid day at work or week at work to go on a vacation. That was like seen as so crazy that someone would take a pay deduction to go have a life experience. So it was already there. And I think people, I mean, survey shows in this market, people want flexibility. People are, they are asking employers more brazenly than ever, is this a hybrid position? Is this a virtual position? What kind of flexibility? Because people, number one, everybody hates the rat race. Who wants to be stuck in traffic? Right? Who wants to be stuck in traffic on a day where, if you live in Michigan, like in a, you know, snow state where the weather's crappy and you're potentially endangering your life? You get to work, half the meetings are canceled because it's snowy. You know, so people don't want to deal with that anymore. But I also think the bigger issue is that I think the pandemic, I think there was a level of, especially in 2020 into 21, there was a level of empathy that a lot of companies and bosses showed that they hadn't shown before. Right? Think about articles before the pandemic. If you work from home, have a private office and don't let your dogs and kids interrupt. And then the pandemic happened and we were all kind of stuck together. And that changed, right? It's like, oh, it's, you know, just do your best, right? Don't worry about wearing a suit on Zoom every week. And I think people are looking for that empathy, that just acknowledgement that we're human and we have life circumstances, and that we as adults, our talented adults, can get the work done and maybe do things differently. And you know what? That article, that topic is coming up again. Even now, look at gas prices. People are starting to commute back to work. And now, I mean, it's almost $4.99 a gallon by my house. And thinking about folks that got to drive half an hour, 45 minutes to work every day and aren't making the money to cover that gas. I mean, that's, you know, some companies are like, too bad. And others are trying to be empathetic and say, you know what, maybe we can bolster the work from home right now, because, you know, it's affecting people's lifestyles and their lifestyle choices if they have less money coming in.
Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, you said a lot of things. You said a lot of things. I want to go back to, you know, the work-life balance and the quality of life that people want to have, that people are yearning for, mm-hmm. as far as, you know, commuting 2 hours to get to work, 1 hour there, 1 hour back, mm-hmm. and then working 40-hour weeks. I just don't even know if it's sustainable anymore in moving forward that we work 40 hours a week and drive to work, because how can you have work-life balance just only on the weekends? It just doesn't even feel sustainable, that model anymore. I feel like we need to go to a different model of, you know, coming up with a new, like, how many hours of work mm-hmm. we're going to work for a company, like not 40 hours, because sure. if you have a family and mm-hmm. you have, you know, if you have to commute, and there's just too many things, it just doesn't seem that it's tending to the physical body and taking care of quality of life. What do you mm-hmm. think about that?
Yeah, I mean, everything you're talking about, I think it's going back to what something called results-oriented work environment, ROW, and basically says, we're going to pay you for the value you add to the company, and we're going to give you the freedom to sort of achieve that. And some weeks it might take 50 hours, some weeks it's going to take 30, and we're going to let you, again, we trust you, talented people to do talented things, and we hold you accountable for those results, but we're going to let you get to those results in different ways. And so I think that is the way things are going. I'm hopeful that that's the way they will go relatively soon.
Yeah, I think that's the whole piece, is that, you know, we as a humanity, we need to decide, how do we want to work? How do we want to sustain? The fact that right now you said the gas prices where you are is $4 and something. Well, right here where I am, right an hour outside of Seattle North, I was driving by the gas station. It's $5.27. I couldn't believe it. 5:27. And honestly, you know, I work at home. So for me, it's like I can go into town once a week and it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a problem. But what about that single mother that has three kids and is supporting the kids? What about, you know, people that, you know, just don't have the money. And then there's inflation in the economy. There's just so many things that just seem so out of whack right now that, and then on top of it, you're supposed to work a 40-hour job. This, to me, you know, is just going the wrong direction.
Yeah, like I said, it's definitely, companies need to focus more on the results that they're asking their employees to deliver and be open to the ways we get to those results. I think that's best way to look at it, because it allows for flexibility to people live their lives the way they need to. They can go to their kids' graduation ceremony or go to they might want to go to the grocery store at 2 p.m. because there's not a lineup, right? Like, it allows for that flexibility. That's what people ultimately want. I think that's what people have always wanted. I think if you ask people, most people still prefer a hybrid model. So this idea that everybody wants 100% virtual, I don't think that's not going to be a thing in a lot of industries, but I think the idea that people want a few days a week where they don't have to commute and they don't have to do all these things and make that schedule sort of as they need it, I think that's where we're going. Or in other workplaces where, you know what, we might be in office a lot in the fall, but summer's dead, stay at home more, you know, do your thing. Like, we're looking for that kind of flexibility. And I think the companies that do that and adapt to it in their own way are the ones that are going to be successful and are just going to have better employee engagement than the ones that don't.
Yeah, and I just want to say, our producer today, Jacob, are you able to respond? Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
You're at home today, right?
I am, that's correct.
And normally you're in the office, right, at this time?
I am, yes. Normally I am working in the studio, yeah.
So how do you feel to know that you have the flexibility to sometimes be in the office and sometimes be at work?
Well, yeah, I love that. I think that Dr. Ball hit it spot on, that hybrid model that we're looking for really does suit at least what I like to do. I think that having that flexibility and having the option to, you know, kind of prove that I'm doing this work, I can get the work done this amount of time and I don't need to be there to do it. I think that's just great. And if employers can recognize that and be open to accommodating a sort of hybrid schedule, then I think that that's absolutely going to benefit everyone's mental health and the efficiency of which people work as well.
And yeah, thank you for saying that, Jacob. That's really good. And also create more of a work-life balance, Dr. Paul, that you were talking about in your bio, that this is what you help companies do. So I think the more that people speak out about what they prefer, or the kind of lifestyle that they want to have, or what's going to help them be more sustainable in their life, speaking that out to employers. And since you're working with employers, you know, you letting them know this is what the people want.
Yep. Yep. And your employees will tell you. That's the thing. I mean, we've all been in that work environment. It doesn't have to be about work and life balance. We've all worked somewhere where they made a change and didn't ask the people what affect the change, right? Software system coming in, people using the software system, like, this is crap. Like, this does not meet the need. Well, why'd you buy it? Well, you know, so it's the same thing with workplace culture. Ask the people that are impacted. They're going to tell you, and not everyone's going to agree, and not every, you know, you're not going to get a unanimous, but you will probably get some really strong data in one direction or another that'll give you a really good baseline of what people want and where it needs to go to make things better on the whole. And I think that's the key that's missing in some places. They're not willing to have those conversations and do anything with the data, because it opens a can of worms. Hey, managing people virtually is a different thing. I don't think it's harder. I just think it's a different skill set. It's like, if the last two, I mean, the 9-to-5 culture comes out of factories, right? It comes out of Henry Ford. It comes out of, like, you know, we can produce so many widgets a day and there was no internet, right? And there were single parent, single earner families, right? Typically male, like, all those things go into the 9-to-5 work week, right? Now we're a fully integrated global society. And so we've been doing that for, you know, what, a century and a half. So it's kind of like, you know, for a century and a half, we've been playing tennis, and now we're asking people to play football. It's going to be a bit of an adjustment, different kind of skill set to manage people on a football team than it is on a tennis court. But it doesn't mean it can't be done. It just means you have to think differently and be able to be patient with the growing pains that might happen in your company when you switch to a fully hybrid model, which I think we got some of those out of the way with the pandemic, but I think now we're in the phase where things are really truly hybrid for a lot of companies. They were fully virtual, so the learning curve was different because everybody was pretty much in the same boat in terms of office culture. And now you get into places that are experimenting with some people being, you know, on site and some people not, mixed meetings, things like that. So I think companies just need to be patient and ask people what they want and keep adjusting based on that.
Our whole ever since COVID, like you said, it was COVID just brought it up all out to the surface. This was all part of the evolutionary plan, and COVID supported us in this evolutionary plan to find new ways that are more sustainable for life, for living, for working, doing work we love, being treated, with respect at work. There's so many things, making a good living. There's so many things around this. And like you said, right now is the time really to have patience again and have these conversations, communicate with each other what our needs are, what our wants are, and communicate with your employees when the changes happen and ask them too, their input. I think that's a big piece, don't you?
Yeah, it's data, it's feedback loops, right? It's constantly, if you talk about, if you look at like athletics or actors, and any sort of high performance, anything, feedback loops, right? You do something, you get some data on that thing that you did, right? You get feedback, right? If in football, I do something, coach would yell at me or tell me I did it right, give me a pointer. I take that, take it in, and I would try it again. And hopefully I did it better. And I get more feedback and kept going and going. It's the same thing with companies culture, with company culture, period, that you got to, it's not just like, oh, we did a survey back 2 years ago, we're going to be good for a while. This is constantly built into evaluation processes. This is built into annual reviews. This is built into just company-wide, organization-wide data analytics, it's funny, if a company develops a product, they'll be doing that all the time, right? They don't just produce a can of Coca-Cola or whatever. They're constantly looking at different aspects of it. So we need to apply the same sort of zeal to our employee culture and our company culture and shift with the time as much as possible.
Yeah. And I think that is really up and center right now. So I just think it's great. I think this is a really good time for people to really look at and see, some people may not even want to work for corporate. They may want to be entrepreneurs and work for themselves, be motivational speakers, and create their own business. So there's so many ways that Spirit is talking to us right now. Yep. And what lights you up? What is it that you're happiest doing? These are all fabulous questions to ask yourself, right?
Yeah. And the number one question I ask folks when I'm working with them is, what do you want your life to look like on an individual level? Like, what do you want your life to look like? And does the picture you draw match the one you have right now? If the answer is no, which it often is if I'm coaching them, what do we have to do to get closer to that image? So.
Yeah. Well, it was wonderful to have you on the show today. Let's tell the audience how they can look you up and where people can find you and follow you on social media.
Sure. I know links will be in sort of the boxes, but if you go to paulartelli.com, you can find out all about me, my topics, my presentation topics, and fill out the contact form if people want to get in touch and bring me into their organizations for consulting, or if you have a conference coming up and you want someone to fire up your base and then using my life in college football as the story, go to paulartelli.com. Otherwise, find me on LinkedIn and Instagram, but especially on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, so I'm always posting articles and things like that.
Good. And you have to make sure that you find me on LinkedIn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stephanie, so we can definitely, we're going to be sharing this video next week online. Perfect. So make sure that you share it as well. But it was an honor and a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing in the world. Thank you for your service is what I like to say to myself every day, for showing up and for inspiring and doing good things in the world. Thank you for your service. And also Jacob, to our producer here, thank you for your service. Thank you everybody for listening and tuning in to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. And we'll see you again next time. Take good care.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.